welcome to Parker Podcast. Today we are so lucky to have guests Terry Devine, Dean of College Counseling, and Bob Hurley, our Director of College Counseling, who are going to give us a look inside the college admissions process at Parker. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning. When does the counseling process start at Parker? And like when it gets going, how is it kind of integrated into student schedules?
I would say it's gradual and appropriately so, where in the early going, the students with their families meeting with their class deans in the upper school are designing a curriculum that would not only satisfy requirements, but also their needs as they proceed through the high school years. And while on the surface, someone might not say, well, that's necessarily college counseling, it truly is, because I'd say more than half of the college counseling is the student realizing his or her strengths, ideas, goals, and that's found through the curriculum, their extracurricular activities. The actual research of colleges is secondary to that.
And I would add that, you know, we're pretty intentional about the way we start this process, in that we want students to be 14 and enjoy ninth grade and have all those things that are happening in ninth grade be significant and important, and not to have the college process drive everything that is done. We sort of want to be there, whether seen or unseen, I guess. So we have programming that starts, things like college fairs and things like that, that are starting fairly early for them. But but as Bob said, we're really talking about sort of curricular choices at that point, and really helping students to understand where their curiosity lies and how to appropriately follow that, and what are the avenues that they might choose. So their grade level deans are really helpful in doing that. In addition, we have parent coffees, college panels, things like that are going on that start to then increase as students move forward in the upper school. And then certainly once we get to junior year is when we start college class and we have a lot more interaction with those students.
Yeah, and I think the workshops that you guys do during the school day for upper school students are really interesting. Can you give me some examples of the kind of workshops that you do with students?
Well, they'll start about the midway point of junior year. And prior to that, I should say that we've asked the juniors at that stage, as well as their parents, to give some thought to their eventual goal for the student. So they're filling out some pretty lengthy surveys, questionnaires. And that will not only serve us in getting to know the students better, but hopefully kickstart, if it hasn't already happened, some conversations at home, where the students are starting to articulate ideas, starting to actually realize some things that they prefer more than others. The workshops themselves, the classroom-based ones, in relatively small groups, maybe 15 or so or less, will cover topics that we can discuss in a general format in front of everyone, so we're not violating any confidentiality. We would never share with another student, you know, where a particular student was, you know, thinking about or applying. But we can cover a lot of ground that way, helping them with how they should go about visiting colleges, and actually starting off with why go to college at all. It's almost assumed, I think, in an atmosphere like this that they're going to go. But until they start to take ownership of it, the project seems too exterior instead of an internal pursuit. So these group meetings we'll cover quite a bit. This past year, we've incorporated more writing within our group exercises, some prompts that will get the students started. Probably they're not realizing it at the time, but they're writing the beginnings of what could be college essays in doing so. And it's more of a self-reflective exercise. But we'll do quite a bit. We'll cover a lot of ground through the second half of junior year and through the first, say, third or so of senior year with those workshops.
What's nice is students can really get the majority of their common application, their UC application, their essays. Those are all done in class with us or in individual meetings. So they're not sort of left on their own trying to figure out how to do any of that. We're guiding them every step of the way.
Wonderful. And so when things start to pick up and get more serious, when they're deciding which colleges to apply to, what's your team's philosophy in guiding students towards the right college for them?
I think the right college is different for every single student. And, we do a pretty extensive survey with them and just a lot of conversation to determine what is the right best fit for a particular student. And people often maybe focus on one area where we're going to really look at what is the appropriate social fit, the financial fit, the academic fit. Those are all really important pieces of this puzzle. And one of our favorite things to do is to, you know, have students come back from a college visit and really tell us what they liked about different places and what they didn't like, because that helps us then to really start to fine tune that list and go, okay, well, if this wasn't working at this school, it's probably not going to feel good at this one either. We just know that each one of those pieces, if one is off, it can make, you know, the transition pretty difficult. You know, people approach the college process as just the getting in, but our philosophy is always about sort of getting through, and we want students to make sure they found the place that feels like it's going to be the right home for them for 4 years, and where they're going to be academically successful and socially successful and also not have debt that they're accumulating in this process. So you know, we really want students to do a lot of reflection after their visits about what, and trust their instincts. I mean, I think it's a lot of just people go, well, was this rank, is, you know, this college is ranked this, or this college is ranked that. And in the end, it really comes down to where a student felt like they were going to really thrive and trust their instincts there.
And also, we, I guess maybe a little bit of misconception that for some reason we might have some stake in this, where we, as, and there are four counselors within our office, we don't have any preconceived notions where this student should go to college until we've had these meetings, read through their responses to various questions, heard their feedback, and we're nothing more than really mirrors for them, reflecting back hopefully what they're saying that they want, what they're saying that they like, and trying to provide some answers that, you know, could fit along those lines. So it's not like, even we've been doing this for a long time, too long. I don't know that with any degree of accuracy, if I could tell you where a student of mine is going to go to college from the very beginning of my meetings. Mm-hmm. Even at the end, when they're making final decisions and consultation with family and trying to decide all the factors that are important, as Terry mentioned, even then I could be thrown for a little bit of a loop because they're picking from among a number of choices that just fit. And that can change because we're talking about someone who's 17 to 18 years old, who's trying to make some important decisions. For some of our students, if they've been here forever, this will be the second school they ever attend. And for others, even if it's, you know, they're new to the high school, it's still considered a very important decision. So to take that ownership and feel good about it, I guess that's our goal. And thankfully, they tend to.
One of the things that I often will tell students when we're meeting about and talking about different colleges they've visited, and they're trying to sort through their ideas about different places, and I'll ask them, tell me where you would want to be on a bad day. And they kind of look at me a little quizzically, like, why are you asking me that? But I explain to them that, you know, college is an incredible time in your life, but it is not all sunshine and rainbows. There are difficult days, and there are tough classes that students are taking, and they're also forming their new social network, so their support system isn't there, mm-hmm. especially in the beginning. So, you know, as they're walking around campus, I want them to look for different things. They're often looking for, like, well, where's the science building, or where's this? But I want them to find the things that make them feel like they're at home. One student a few years ago said there was a tree that she saw with a bench underneath it, and she said, that's going to be my spot. Like, she goes, that's where I want to sit, and I want to read great books, and I want to wave to my classmates and talk to my professors. And she felt like finding those little spaces on campus or whatever, like, I thought that was just really kind of magical, because she's starting to picture herself there and making that adjustment and that transition. So the more that they can really reflect back on where they feel like they're going to make their new home, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. Kind of circling back, when you say that students have a number of options, I think that's it is overwhelming today, the amount of colleges they can apply to and how each college has maybe a little bit of a different approach in the way that they look at their applicants. And so it requires so much of your team to stay up to date on everything happening at the next level. What kind of professional development and connections and networking do you guys do to make sure that you have a gauge of what colleges are looking for?
I would say it's probably a big part of our day every day. We just rolled out a new platform called Maya Learning. It's M-A-I-A Learning. And one of the first things that the students sees when they're doing a college search in Maya Learning is that there are nearly 8,000 colleges just in the U.S. alone. And then they start to filter it down to maybe just four-year colleges, not-for-profit or public schools, whatever. And you see maybe around 3,500, 4,000. And then they say, okay, well, would you like to look outside the U.S.? Well, there are 145 different colleges you can, or different countries you can search for, and their colleges. So you can see for a kid that that would be pretty overwhelming to go, oh my gosh, like where would I even begin, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the first things, you know, we're doing is really making sure that we know about the number of opportunities and options that are out there for students so that we can best advise them. And that comes from a lot of conferences that we attend and different colleges that we are constantly visiting. We've seen a huge uptick in students looking outside the U.S. for college, whether they're going to Canada, to Mexico, to Europe, Asia, Australia. They're really looking everywhere now. And that makes it fun for us that we really get to learn about these incredible institutions that are around the world. Some of my favorites I visited recently were in Scotland, where it's always interesting when you come, you know, you go on a college tour here in the U.S. and they will say, oh, you know, we're ranked number 35 for our business program or whatever. And then you go to the University of Glasgow and they say, so we're ranked number 3 in the world for economics. Okay. You know, we were founded in whatever, 1400, and this is where Harry Potter was filmed. And you go, okay, these are really amazing institutions. So I just think it's really fun to explore those places so that we can then really best advise our students. We do a lot also with our professional network. We've all been involved with our professional associations. We find that we work with a lot of college admissions officers outside of Parker. That's on a very regular basis. Mm-hmm. So we're partnering with them at different conferences, doing different sessions, doing research together. I think people would be surprised to know just how much time we spend with members of the college admissions world. Mm-hmm. That's a really big part of our day, pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And the fact that our students will take in, and their families obviously are taking into account all the many possibilities kind of keeps us on our toes. So it's not the same 30, 40 schools that are represented in an application pool. When we came here 13 some odd years ago, one thing we never had to do with this population was try to get them to expand their minds with their college search. They're willing to take everything into account. And each year, it's further testament to that when you have 120 to 130 graduates getting into probably upwards of 200 different colleges, choosing to attend upwards of 70 different colleges. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same 200 or the same 70. So for us, it keeps it fresh. It means that hopefully they're doing it for their reasons. And because of all that, we do have to visit a lot of schools. We do meet with reps from, gosh, probably just under 200 schools every fall. They make individual visits to Parker to meet with our juniors and seniors. So while we've been doing it for a while, it doesn't feel old.
And I want to give you guys a platform to talk about, because I think it was the coolest thing ever, and you guys worked so hard to make it happen. But the College Advisory Board that visited last week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Sure. When we talk about sort of the partnerships that we have with our colleagues on the college side of all of this, this was a program that I just thought was a really interesting way to sort of get our college colleagues here on campus and to give them some insight into Parker beyond just looking at the school profile or their individual visit that they might do here in the fall. So we had representatives from a number of institutions that were here for two full days. They went to classes, they saw concerts, they went to the basketball games. They really spent a day in the life, really, of Parker. They also worked with our parents, our board members. They did a case study program with our board where they were reviewing mock applications with them and helping them to decide then who would be admitted and who would be denied and who would be waitlisted in the applicant pool. So it was just really a good teaching tool, I think, for the board. And it's also interesting for us because we were able to sit down and really look through letters of recommendation and school profile and things like that and look to see, you know, what are the trends in this field and, you know, what are their insights into that, what's working and where we can do things a little differently or whatever. We really want to be always open to learning and growing in this profession. And that certainly gave us an opportunity to get some good feedback.
Mm-hmm. It's such a rare chance for the college representatives to have that opportunity because all of us in the office used to be on the college admission side. And while we would make the rounds and visit 4 to 5 schools a day and go to a college fair at night, it was always this hit and run mission where you might spend 45 minutes or so on a campus, and that was the extent of your relationship other than phone or email. To have them here for that long a period so they could appreciate all these things, it's pretty rarefied air. And the fact that they also took time out of their really hectic schedules, they did this during the height of their reading season when God knows how many tens of thousands of applications they still had waiting for them on their files back home. But they saw the importance of it as well and valued their feedback. And it should be a continuing relationship, too, that we can go back to in the years to come.
We also provided them with surveys before and afterward just to get their impressions of Parker and what they knew beforehand and what they know now after being on campus for a while. And so the representatives were from Caltech, USC, UCLA, NYU, Yale, the University of Virginia,
Notre Dame,
Lafayette College, and then we also had a college counselor from Crystal Springs Upland School up in the Bay Area who we wanted a college counselor also on that panel just because we knew that we would get good insight from them as well about sort of what was happening in their office, were we doing things similarly or were there different mm-hmm. opportunities that we might be able to glean from them.
It was fascinating. I just sat in on a couple of the sessions, one of them with the grade deans. And I won't say who the rep is because I don't want to spill their secret sauce, but he talked about, you know, when they're looking at applicants, we have all these boxes that kids are trying to check and how he was really looking for students who pursued their own learning outside of schools. You know, he recognized that that's what makes leaders today. Those are the kind of people that come in and change companies and corporations. And I thought that was fascinating because you don't hear that directly from a college admissions officer, mm-hmm. almost ever. So knowing that they got to spend time with students and board members and pretty much most of the constituents at our school mm-hmm. was really valuable. Okay, so kind of to wrap us up, because it feels like the word college becomes part of the daily vernacular when kids are in like kindergarten. What is your advice to parents who are struggling with the pressure of getting their kids into a good school?
It's such a great question, and I think, you know, I always want to approach it too. Is that the fact that we're in this rarefied air and space that we can talk about the privilege that people have, that this is an opportunity, that college is an opportunity, I think is really an amazing thing. We have, you know, a variety of students that are attending Parker too, and we have those that will be very familiar with the college process here in the U.S. and those that have absolutely no idea what's coming, right? So we always want to just stay clear about the fact that this is new for everyone, and for parents that, you know, are feeling that amount of stress, or they're hearing it all around them. I mean, every time you turn on the news or you are reading a magazine, you're going to see some article about college, right? And I think it's hard to turn that off. But it really is important for the health of children that we do take a step back and really think about what's important for them and the opportunities that they have, the privilege that they have to even be in this space. And I think to really support them best, we have to be aware of what's coming. but to let it drive every decision that we make about children and what they do, I think is not necessarily a good thing. It's we've got to think about their health and well-being, and their education and their curiosity. The thing that just makes me crazy sometimes is when people stop thinking about the joy of learning, and they start thinking about, well, will this look good for college? Is this the right thing for college? And I say, the minute you ask that question, stop doing whatever it is you're doing, right, and go, this is the wrong thing to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. Parents will often sit down with us and they'll say, you know, what should my son or my daughter be doing this summer? And I'll turn to the student and say, what would you like to do this summer? You know, I want them to really start thinking about what's important to them and helping them to find that natural sort of intellectual curiosity and allow them to explore that. Because I think that's the most fun part of all of this. And that's where people change the world, right? When we talked about earlier with the advisory board, and one of the points that they were making was they were looking for those people that were exploring that those intellectual passions outside of the classroom. What were the things that they were exploring? And I think when we can follow that, we find people that can really start to move things forward and change things.
I think the amount of pride that each of us in the office takes in the work we do, and for the joy that we take in working with each of the students, because they do have their own stories and interests. What I don't want to be the case is that the student and family, sometimes more so, to be like building this up as our office is the end all. I want them to be enjoying and remembering their times here at the school for many more reasons than the process of applying to college. And hopefully, as a result of that process, maybe they've rediscovered something about themselves, or you know, just gotten that much more excited about what their future holds for them. The neat part is we get to watch that unfold, but it's not something that should be the first thing they write in their yearbook. that this is, you know, something that's, I guess, more of a rite of passage for just about every student that comes through here, but it doesn't define them. They're going to define themselves in so many ways that are interesting beyond a 650-word essay and a list of 10 schools and however many acceptances they garner. It's more a celebration of them.
And so I just feel like this time in a young person's life is so treasured and so amazing. And I just feel so fortunate to be able to be in this position, to be able to listen to them and hear about their dreams. And I often say to them, at no other point in your life is someone going to say to you, you can go anywhere and be anything and do anything. Mm-hmm. And how magical is that? And the fact that we get to be a part of that on a daily basis is just the best thing in the whole world.
And it helps that you guys have the coolest team on campus.
And we have the most fun.
Yes.
So. Well, thank you both for joining me so much. It's been such a pleasure having you, and we look forward to chatting with you again sometime soon.
Thank you. You.